Amen. Wasn't that beautiful worship? Amen. Thank you, Megan, for leading us. And then she disappeared. Anyway, so good to be back with you. It feels like I haven't been here in quite a while. I want to first and foremost thank everyone for all the prayers over the last several weeks. As obviously, if you don't know, my mother-in-law passed away, and so Rebecca was with her, it feels like, for 2 or 3 weeks now. And we laid her to rest last Friday, and we appreciate all the prayers of the family. It's been a very difficult season for many reasons, and that just was kind of the one of the things that just kind of put the icing on the cake, if that makes sense. But this is one thing that we do celebrate, and that is that Mom is now in heaven with the Lord, and so we can take solace in that. So we praise God for that, but that still doesn't soften sometimes the human element that we still have to face here on earth. So continue to pray for us. And, you know, I'm also excited that this morning I'm not wearing a boot. I brought a chair just in case. My foot is a little sore. The doctor said, do not run unless someone is chasing you. Do not run or do anything unless you're running from a fire, a bear, or, you know, someone with a gun or something. I said, okay, I can do that. So he said, take it easy, and I won't have to be in the boot anymore. But it's still sore, so we'll see how long that goes. But anyway, so good to be with you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, the book of Numbers, chapter 14. And what we're going to do this morning is set up our sermon, which deals with worship, but more importantly, living a life of praise. And what we're doing is going to Numbers chapter 14 is we're looking at the contrasts. It's what we're doing. We're going to be looking at a group of people who mastered the art of grumbling, of complaining, of murmuring. And it's funny because the Israelites had just witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They had seen the power of God hold these walls of water apart so that they could pass and escape over onto dry land on the other side. But the funny thing is just a few moments later, not a few moments, but a little while later, we see them in the desert grumbling. Grumbling. And this complaining wasn't just a bad attitude. I want to stress that. What this complaining was, this grumbling, this murmuring was, it was a symptom of spiritual amnesia. And this morning, we're going to see that how living a life of praise can pull you and me, can pull us out of this wilderness experience that we might be facing in our lives and change the way that we view God's faithfulness. Amen? Everybody ready? Okay, there we go. I got somebody. John's ready. That's about it. Okay. Everyone needs to go get some more coffee. Numbers 14, starting at verse 1. And it says, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept all night. And all that the people of Israel grumbled against was Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes, they rent their clothes, and they said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Can you imagine that? Just throw some Cheerios in there, we're good to go. And then verse 9, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We need to hear this morning. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they. Let's pray over God's word before we get too far. Lord, we come to you this morning after beautiful worship, Lord God, in song, to talk about how we can live a life of praise, true worship. And I pray this morning that through all of this, you remind us that it's not just on Sunday, but it's every moment of every day of our lives, Lord God, that we have an opportunity to live a life of praise and to worship you. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help me to handle your word rightly. It's a weighty word that you've given this morning because, Lord, our human nature fights against worship, living a life of praise. And particularly in this world that we live in where there's so much adversity and conflict, I pray that we, Lord, can be a people who are in contrast to those that we read about in the book of Numbers. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as we delve deep into this word, that our hearts would be open to hear from heaven and to apply what we've heard to our own lives so that, Lord, we can live in the fullness of Christ. I pray that now in your precious name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have been following along in the Island Church, What Does a Disciple Do devotional, hopefully one, two, or three of you are going through this together along with this series, because this is the premise for this 20-week series that we've been spending the last 6 weeks as of today in kind of walking you to deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what a disciple looks like, what a disciple does, what that outcome is. And if you've been following along with us, then you would know that this week we're focusing on worship, living a life of praise. And the setup, if you've read it in that particular section, is a really good setup. It's also very convicting. It's very convicting. You know, as in the setup, our lives are often characterized by always looking and longing for what we don't have. Right? We always think that the grass is greener on the other side. And we struggle with that. We just do. And so what happens is we look for those things and we want and long for things that maybe we think we want. And we're like, God, why won't you give this to me? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And little do we know that sometimes God is protecting us in that process. And what instead we should be doing is thanking God for what we have in the present moment and what God is providing. And when we do that, worship seems to be, I'm glad that went off, it was very distracting. It'll come back on in a moment when we get to a deeper moment. Watch, just watch. But when we are in contrast to living a life of praise, when we are doing that, worship seems to be more about, everybody do this, me. It's about what I want, what I like, or how things have to be. And I know this, that's not what God intended for worship. For our lives. It's not about me. It's not about my wants. It's about Jesus. God has something entirely different in mind when we talk about worship. But here's the problem. We're just going to dive deep real quick. Is that okay? One of the greatest struggles that everyone will face when it comes to trusting the Lord is this, the trap of the tongue. The trap of the tongue. Let me just explain that to you. James chapter 3. Let's look at that together real quickly. There's no better teacher than the word, right? Verse 1, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a word of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord the Father, and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Here's the premise of that scripture, just to put it in plain English, okay? We can speak life and death from our tongue. We can, and we can do it at the same time. We can bless one person and curse another person. And when there is discontent in our souls, there cannot exist genuine worship. It just can't. There cannot exist a moment where we're living a life of praise. You see, because when we grumble, when we gossip, when we breed discord, when we breed negativity, what that reveals a sign of a deeper spiritual content in our souls. See, we're more focused on here and now. We're focused on whatever it is that's on distracting our heart in that moment over what God is doing in our lives or what God is doing around and among us. You know, in my life, when my focus shifts to that lack of mentality, where I'm like, you know, I need this or that in order for things to be better in my life. I need $1 million in my bank account. You know, we have crazy things that we talk about all the time. Or this has to happen or that has to happen in order for things to be better. I am focusing on the wrong things. I am focusing on the wrong things. I'm focusing on what I don't have, on what I want, my preferences over trusting in the continuing goodness of God in my life. And when I do that, I don't see, hear me out this morning, the beauty of the gospel. I don't see the beauty of the gospel, nor do I see the beauty of the gospel in what it is doing all around me because I'm just too focused. I'm too focused. Why? Because I'm too busy looking at what I don't have. I'm looking at what's missing, what I believe needs to happen, and it's a discontent within me. I'm going to be very transparent. Last fall, oh man, I was having a hard time. A real hard time. A lot of things were going on in my personal life. A lot of things were going on in church life. And we had a baptism in October of last year. And there were several people that said they wanted to be baptized. We were excited. We went ahead and we're going to do it. And we got out there and there was only one person who was going to be baptized out of all the people that said that they wanted to do it. Circumstance happened. That's okay. But it's like, okay. And as a pastor, you get into those moments. Charlie, Steve, Al, you probably relate with this. And you're like, doggone it, you know? You want it to be this wonderful occasion and you want to see people's lives changed. And man, I was sitting there and I was discontent. It's like, I wish we had more people that were willing to be baptized because baptism is a sign of the new life that we're being raised into with Christ. Amen, right? And then the Lord then just pierced my soul. In the middle of that, while going through and sharing the word, James, who was being baptized, shared his testimony, and I was cut to the core because he shared how God had changed his life and brought him back into the church some 30 plus years later, and he had found a church family that was changing his life because he had saw the realness of God in them. And I was so convicted in that moment, and I thought to myself, oh, woe is me. Had an Isaiah moment. And I began to thank God for that man and his testimony. And I began to realize if it is just one, it is worth it in the eyes of God. Why am I so concerned with who, how many? And I was convicted. I'm being very transparent with you. And I began to praise God, and my outlook changed. Charlie and I talked about it afterwards, and we just praised God because we were both a little disappointed. But at the same time, when we heard that, we were like, hallelujah! It's worth it if it's just one. We all have those moments, right? Context may be different, but we all have those moments. We take the good things that God is doing, big, small, even those that sometimes that are overlooked, those overlooked things that God is doing, because they may seem insignificant to us, but everything is important to God. Amen? Everything is. And simply put, we have tunnel vision is what we do for that one thing or those things that have gotten our attention away from true worship, away from true praise of our God. So what do we do? Well, For me, I humbled myself in that moment. I said, thank you, God. We need to have a humble heart first and foremost. And then we need to do as the scripture says in Philippians 2, verse 14, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among the stars like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I think Charlie and I were on the same page this morning during the prayer time, scripture prayer, led prayer. Because this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you three things that I want you to do as homework this week. And you're like, oh no, they're not hard, I promise, okay? So you might want to write them down or you can take a picture when it comes up on the screen. But the first thing I want you to do, and maybe you start today, this afternoon, maybe after church, or maybe pick a day this week. But man, would it be awesome if we came out of this service this morning and started with this? I want you to replace 24 hours of complaints with grumbling with a gratitude fast. And what I mean by that is here's what I want you to do. When you have the urge to complain about something, you know, the urge to grumble, I want you to write down three things that you're thankful for and replace that complaint with three things that you're thankful for. See what starts to happen when you do that. Let's practice that together. Can we do that? Can you do that? Can you commit to doing that sometime? Maybe after church, you start for the next 24 hours. Maybe you start tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe you want to spend the rest of the day complaining, getting it out, and then tomorrow you start your gratitude fast. I don't know, you know? You work that out. It's between you and the Lord, okay? But would you do that with me? Because church, living a life of prayer, listen to me, rather than grumbling means an intentional shifting of your focus from your circumstances, your problems, to the character of God, to his faithfulness, to his repeated provision in your lives, to his love for you. And it requires that you actively replace complaining, grumbling, murmuring with gratitude, which in turn leads to you experiencing the supernatural peace that we see all throughout the Bible. Let me give you a couple of verses. For example, Proverbs 3, it says in verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. How about in Isaiah 26:3? Look what it says here. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You know, there's also great danger when we choose to grumble and complain rather than live a life of praise. You see, because grumbling, I know this firsthand. Let me just tell you this. Complaining is a prescription for anxiety. You look at that scripture and it says, they complained to Moses and Aaron. Remember that? And it says, and they wept and cried out all night. They were anxious. You know, when we choose to live in opposition to praise, man, it becomes easier for us to wring our hands in frustration. Oh, anybody been there before? Doggone it. Thank you. I got one honest person. Everybody's like, I don't know what you're talking about. To which I say, liars. No, I'm kidding. But it becomes easier to find reasons to complain. It's easier to become frustrated, to see the offense of the eye rather than the beauty of the gospel. And much worse, there's something else that happens here, and that is that anxiety, it feeds. It feeds. It feeds to others, and then it feeds off each other. Anybody ever experienced that before? You know, I go to my wife, I complain about something. Before you know it, we're both complaining. Right? Anybody do that before? And then maybe you pick up the phone, hey, did you... You know? You see, because grumbling likes company, just like misery loves company. You see this all throughout the book of Numbers. You see it in the Israelites. One, two, three, they begin to grumble, and others listen in. They begin to join the cries and the complaints, and they spend all night crying and complaining about it. And God was not having that. God was not having that. They grumbled so much that it festered throughout a generation, and it defiled many. Got to be careful. Look what it says in Numbers 14, verse 26, starting there. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long this wicked congregation grumble against me? Shall they grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. And I say to them, or he tells Moses, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will, you know what would help if I wore my glasses? I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your numbers listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joseph, the son of Nun. But your little ones who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall into this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and suffer for your faithlessness until the day of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. Oh, that's harsh, isn't it? I mean, this is the opposite of living a life of praise, isn't it? This is actually living a life of discontent. It's living a life that is just going into a dead end over and over again. Choosing to live a life of praise is a choice that we all have. Amen? You have a choice. Or we can put on a black tie and have a pity party. I've done that in my lifetime too. Right? Oh, woe is me. Here's the remedy for anxiety. Philippians 4. Look what the writer writes. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. It must be a big deal if he says, I say again, rejoice. The Lord is near. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not just pick and choose, every situation by prayer and petition, here it is, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you hear that? The God of peace will be with you. God's peace will be with you. How many of you want God's peace in your life? I know I do, every moment of every day of my life, because without it, I'm wringing my hands. What a beautiful place to rest in. No anxiety. No anxiety, simply resting in the certainty of God, of who he is. You know, praise changes our focus from the size of our problems to the size of our God. Amen? You know, I look back on my life, I cannot recall one time where God was unfaithful to me. He was always faithful. But however, I can count on both hands, all my toes, multiplied by I don't know how many times I was faithless. I didn't trust the Lord. I remember those days. But yet, he met me where I was. How many of you can relate with that? Come on. You see, we need to recall those moments. We need to remember the goodness of God in our lives, because if he did it then, he'll do it again. We can have faith to believe that. I've seen God move in so many supernatural ways in my life, in the church, in the churches that I've worked in this church over the last 15 years. And as it was a revitalization, became a church plant, and then relaunched here on the island. I've seen God do wonderful things supernaturally, not just for the church, but through the church and for the people in his church. Over and over again, only things that he could do himself. I have no reason not to trust him. I have no reason to be unfaithful, and nor do you. My friends, you don't have to fear. You have nothing to worry about. You don't have anything to be anxious over. God is bigger than all of it. All of it. I found this acronym while I was preparing. I can't take credit for it, so I'm not going to say I came up with it. I didn't. I'm borrowing it and sharing it with you. How about that? But it's a PRAISE acronym, and I found it to be very helpful and useful, and I want to share it with you. The word PRAISE, broken up into several phrases, I think that will help us. When we look at the P in PRAISE, it says pause and acknowledge God's presence in your life. R, recount his past faithfulness in your life. A, admit your struggles honestly to the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't want to do that, but I think that helps. You know, sometimes you feel like crying and you hold it in and you don't feel good. Anybody ever been there before? Or you just need a good cry, right? It's okay, I can say that. Because, you know, got to be real. I, intercede for others. Shift your focus outward. Stop looking inward. S, surrender the outcome to the Lord. Knowing that what he has in mind for you is better than what you could imagine. It will bring him glory too. E, express gratitude in advance. You know, some of us, our prayers are always retro. It's like God did something. Oh, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. You saved my neck. You know, you saved my bacon. Thank you, Jesus. I have bacon on my mind because John talked about it earlier. I'll expense some as well. Expect to see some bacon at some point, John. Thank you. But that's what we do with the Lord sometimes. We wait till he does it instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Lord, I give you thanks for the outcome, even if it doesn't look like what I wanted, because you are glorified in all things. I'm really careful as a pastor. I'll be honest with you. When people come to me and they pray, you know, about sickness, they pray about different things. You know, someone may have cancer or it's a life-threatening situation. I'm very careful to say, Lord is going to save them, you know, because the Lord is going to do what the Lord wants to do. But this is what I do pray. Lord, I pray that if you choose to heal them, amen. Lord, if you choose to take them home, amen. Your will be done, and we give you glory either way, because you're doing things that we don't understand and can't see, and you will be glorified, and there's good that comes out of it. There always is. It's perspective. That's faith. And I wonder if we put this into practice, this PRAISE acronym, if we put this in, this is homework number two. Apply this to your life, by the way. I hope you took a picture of that. Leave it up there for just a second, okay? But I wonder how our attitudes, how our hearts would be changed if we applied this to our lives in every moment of every day. Could you imagine? How would we begin to see the glory of God in all things? How would we see our eyes being open to the beauty of the gospel and what it's doing all around us? We would be transformed. Our lives, every moment, every breath, would be worship. Living a life of praise. We make it so hard, don't we? I'm taking an excerpt from the book, but if your worship begins and ends on Sunday morning, you're missing the big picture. You see, because the goal is for us to become someone whose entire life is an act of worship. I love how the book references a scripture that I preached on for many years because we just didn't get it. Romans 12:1. I'm ad-libbing here, so it's not on there. I love how the Apostle Paul, you can hear the urgency. He says, I implore you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living. Jesus already did the dying, so now he wants you to live for him. A living sacrifice. This is your reasonable act of worship, your daily act of worship. That's what he says. It's reasonable that we worship the Lord. So the goal is that our entire lives become an act of worship every moment. Someone who is captivated by who God is so that everything flows from that reality. Jesus died for me so that I could live for him. So I might as well live a life of praise. You see, because worship is about God. Not you, it's about God. So what are we supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. Here's the solution. We need to reset from grumbling to gratitude. We need to have a reset in our lives from grumbling to gratitude. Listen, if you are not aware of those blind spots in your life where you might be a murmurer or a complainer or a grumbler, just ask someone. They'll know. My wife tells me all the time. And I do her. We kind of hold each other accountable. So get an accountability partner there, right? And make sure it doesn't cause a divorce, okay? But because we won't allow that. But if you have those blind spots in your life, sometimes you might not be convicted by it unless the Holy Spirit speaks in your life. So we would pray for that. Lord, reveal to me those areas in my life where, Lord, I might be complaining about things that you've already gotten taken care of and I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to be murmuring about this. I don't need to be concerned over these things. I just need to give it to you and trust you. You see, because if we don't do those things and we don't practice the gratitude fast, if we don't practice the praise acronym, if we don't practice looking for those blind spots in our lives, then we might become just like the Israelites. We might just become like them, wandering in the desert, going in circles for the rest of our lives. That doesn't sound like fun, does it? You know, I remember years ago, traveling with my father-in-law and mother-in-law, and we were going to Williamsburg. And this was before GPS. Anybody remember those days? So he would go on MapQuest and print out. Okay. And he had to sit and be the guy in the right, the passenger telling me where to go, you know? He was like, turn left here. No, I'm kidding, he'd do that. But I remember one day we were driving, we got into Virginia, and he goes, all right, we're gonna make a right at the next light. Okay. We'll go about 2 miles, we're gonna make a right at the next light. Okay? He says, okay, in the next light, we're gonna make another right. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, you do realize we're going in circles, right? He goes, well, that's what MapQuest says to do. I said, that's wrong. I can tell you, we're gonna go back to where we just started. And sure enough, we did. He was like, scratching our head, said, give me that. No. And we looked at it, we figured out another route. But that is what happens when we grumble. We're just going around in circles. We're not going anywhere. We're stuck. We're missing out on the joy, the peace, the rest that's found in a life of worship, of praise. And we see those Israelites in the book of Numbers. We see them stuck wandering in the desert. Their grumbling wasn't just about complaining about food. You know, we think that's what it was because they didn't have anything to eat. They were hungry. You know what it was? It was a fundamental distrust of God's provision over their lives. That's what it was. And I want you to think about it. These people were eyewitnesses to the 10 plagues of Egypt. These people were eyewitness to the pillar and the cloud of fire. These people were witness to the Red Sea being parted and the power of God holding it back. They were eyewitnesses to those Egyptians following them and the horses and the chariots being swallowed up on the by the water when it closed up, when they got up to the other side. They were witness to God turning the bitter waters to sweet waters that they could drink. When they got hungry and they didn't have anything to eat, they saw manna fall from heaven. We see God move faithfully over and over and over again on their behalf. And every time they came to one of those obstacles, you know what they did? They grumbled. They complained. We should just go back to Egypt. We should just die right here. What's the point going any further? Why did God take us out of Egypt? Just go ahead, dig the hole, throw me in. And God's like, we can make that happen. Man, they weren't thankful for the deliverance from slavery in Egypt. They weren't thankful for the sweet water, for the manna that came from heaven. They got so tired of the manna that God was giving them that they said, we want meat. What's wrong with these people? They took for granted what God was doing for them. They missed out on the goodness of God. Team, come on up. I just want to ask you this morning. Oh God, speak to our hearts. This is not a Paul question. This is a Holy Spirit question. But are you missing the goodness of God around you because maybe you're grumbling? Maybe you're complaining? Church, an attitude of grumbling keeps us stuck in the wilderness. Whereas praise builds monuments of remembrance, changes our attitude to remembrance, the faithfulness of God over our lives time and time and time again. And so what I would say to you this morning is, let's stop this cycle of grumbling. Let's stop, Lord. Why don't I have this? Lord, why isn't this going the way I want to? Lord, why? Stop going in circles. Stop following the patterns that we see in Exodus and Numbers. God gave us the word so that we wouldn't make the same dumb mistakes that they made. And yet we still do. It doesn't go anywhere. And worse, if we're not careful, we're going to take somebody with us. So I've asked you to do three things. I want you to have a gratitude fast. When you catch yourself complaining, just say, Lord, three things I'm thankful for. Lord, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for their health. I can go on and on. I'm thankful, Lord God, that we know you and that we have life. It's easy. It's not that hard. I want you to practice the PRAISE acronym. Pause, acknowledge God's presence in your life. Recount his past faithfulness in your life. Admit your struggles honestly to the Lord. Intercede for others. Stop looking inward. Look outward. Surrender the outcome to the Lord. We can't control stuff. Let God deal with the results. Amen? Express gratitude in advance. And finally, this is the final thing I want you to do, your final homework. The third thing, I want to encourage you to establish healthy daily rhythms of thankfulness. Maybe you need to start your morning before your feet hit the floor and say, Lord, I just thank you for another day of life. I thank you, Lord, that I have another opportunity today to bring you glory. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm waking up to spend time with my family, with you, my friends, my church, whatever. But begin to just look for reasons to thank the Lord. Start your day. Start healthy rhythms of praise, prayer. Maybe those things that you're writing down, those three things, you pray for them tomorrow morning before you put your feet on the floor. But start your day by having a prayer of praise and thankfulness before you pray about anything else or for anything else. Church, listen, worship, living a life of praise isn't just about Sunday morning activities. It's not. It's daily supernatural response. That's what it is to God's character and what he's doing in your life, who he is, what he's done, and what he will do, which we don't know, and that's okay. We trust him. Living a life of prayer isn't reserved for when life is easy either. Because we have that tendency as humans to do that, right? When life is bad, we're like, I have no reason to thank God today. Well, you're breathing. You have a chance to turn it around because God still has you here. Amen? There's always a reason to thank him. It's a daily choice that you have to make. And that is to shift your focus from your problems, your circumstances, to the greatness of God. So listen, are you practicing a life where you're living and you're living for praise, worshiping the Lord? If not, then this is what I would say this morning. Let's start right now. Because it begins with this reset that we're talking about. Let's do it right now. Let's turn it over to God and say, Lord, I want to have a life where, Lord, I'm worshiping you in every moment of every day. Where I'm not looking at what's wrong, but I'm looking at what's good. I see how great you are. I see your goodness. I see the beauty of the gospel all around me and how lives are being transformed. I want my life transformed too. And it starts with me. I know that. When I'm discontent, when I'm struggling, I might go, it's Charlie's fault. It's not Charlie's fault. It's me. I'm disconnected from the Lord. I need to spend more time with him. I need to trust him more. I need to get through this spiritual amnesia that I have and get over it and remember what God has done, because what he did then, he will do again. And I know that in my own life, and I encourage that for you too. So let's have a spiritual reset right now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your unending goodness. I pray that this morning, Lord God, you give us the grace to lift our hands and our voices in praise, and that when we leave this place, Lord God, we might go from song of praise and worship, Lord God, to living worship and praise with our lives, with our attitude, with the things that we say and do, how we treat each other, how we love each other. Even those that don't think like us, those that don't look like us, those that we don't like. But instead, Lord, we would shift our focus. And we would even do that when our circumstances are difficult. When life is hard, we look for what's good. And you are always good. God is good all the time. And I pray, Lord, that this morning we reset from grumbling to gratitude, from murmuring to thankfulness. I pray that our lives would be a living testimony of your love, your faithfulness over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Three things this week that I'd love for you to do. Gratitude fast. If you need to get it out of the way, do it after. Do it today. And just complain all you want to. Now, I really hope you don't. Have a gratitude fast. Number two, practice the praise acronym. Hope you got a screenshot of that. If not, we can send it to you. And thirdly, begin to establish healthy daily habits of thankfulness. And this is what I would say. Try it and see what happens. See how your life begins to change, how your attitude begins to start looking at who God is and not so much about what's going on around you. It will change everything. And not only that, you begin to see the glimpses of the goodness of God in so many ways. And you'll go, wow, how did I miss that? and you'll be able to thank him for it. That is what living a life of praise looks like. Amen and amen.